This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. The sermon for this Holy Trinity Sunday is according to Romans. You're invited to be seated. Today being Holy Trinity Sunday, it does us good to meditate on what it means to trust God above all things. For starters, the question, who is God? Well, we confess it every single Sunday and even on Wednesdays and, well, every day in school. And when we use the words of our creeds, we are confessing in the God in whom we believe. We confess and agree with Scripture that He is triune. That is, we confess He is three in one, not three separate gods. We are not polytheists, but one God. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, all-righteous, all-merciful, all-loving. Did you catch all those alls? Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, the Latin prefix being omni, where we get words like omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. But you get the idea. Our appointed lessons for today speak of all of these omni realities. For instance, we look to Isaiah and we see a very clear image that God is all-powerful, that He is omnipotent, omnipresent. God is in His heavenly throne room. The train of His robe fills the heavenly smoke-filled temple. The very foundations of the thresholds of heaven shake when God speaks. The whole scene bespeaks power, might, and fullness. But we get all this, don't we? God's omnipresence isn't an issue with us, is it? We know He's all-powerful. We know He's omnipresent. We know He's with us always. And we also know that He's omniscient. That is, He knows everything all the time, which can become troublesome. He knows what we are going through. He knows our hearts. He knows us better than we do. None of this is really a problem for us until we believe it. Wait, He knows what I'm thinking? He knows what I did yesterday? He knows what I'm thinking right now? We understand it and we believe it, and it's sobering. Because when we know that He's all-knowing, the all-powerful takes on a new dimension, doesn't it? What about God's wisdom, though? For many, God doesn't always seem so wise to them. If you listen to some of the conversations I have with people about the Christian faith, they'll say, I know He works all things for the good of those who love Him, but, now here's their big but I know that I would do certain things differently should I be bestowed the mantle of God on me. I don't say this. No, thanks. I've read the Bible. Why doesn't God use all that power to heal us or our suffering loved ones? Why doesn't God work a miracle and make the crosses we're bearing at the moment go away? Simple common sense says that you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. Wouldn't the sweet honey of prosperity and abundance and wellness work a lot better at making Christians than permitting us to languish under miserable crosses? Why doesn't God make all the wicked ones and the false Christians who stand in opposition to Him repent and come to the truth? Surely He could do it if He really wanted to. Why, God? Why don't You do something? It's this madness, this circular madness that people swirl and swirl and swirl. St. Paul gives us an answer. writing to the Roman Christians who were being persecuted and slaughtered simply because they were Christians, remember. St. Paul points these suffering ones to the incomprehensible wisdom their almighty and all-powerful God has. Oh, the depths and the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God, he says. How unsearchable are his judgments. How inscrutable are his ways. This isn't a lament, remember. He's not bummed out about this. This is high praise. So let that sink in a society that St. Paul is ministering to, where he is very much at the same risk of being murdered simply because he confesses the cross. He is rejoicing that God is all these things. These Christians are being hunted down and slaughtered. They're the main event at the Colosseum. They're the fuel for the city lamps. It's not good. It isn't like the persecution, quote, we Christians face in America. There's a lot more at stake than simply losing your cupcake business. I'm sorry to say it. Or getting some bad publicity. Times are so tough for these Christians, they're literally forced underground, holding worship, not even in houses, because that's not safe. They would hold them in catacombs. You know what's in a catacomb? Dead people! It is a grave. It is in their underground cemeteries. Consequently, they are questioning God's wisdom. We know this. They're asking, why? Why is this happening to us? Why isn't God doing something about this? Sound familiar? But here's the thing, and this is why St. Paul is an apostle and I'm not. He doesn't attempt to answer for God. He doesn't make excuses for God. St. Paul doesn't delve into the theodicy. If you know what a theodicy is, that's the practice of trying to give answer for God and explain what he's doing when we literally have no idea, that we all become theological Cliff Clavins if you've ever watched Cheers. Remember Cliff? He always had an answer for everything, and it was way wrong. But it sounded pretty good. But I wouldn't want to try and fly those airplanes that old Cliff would build. I would crash. But it sure sounded good. But they didn't try to make up some reason why God did something to make you feel better for up to 10 or 15 seconds, just long enough to get away. But rather, here's how he answers. He answers with praising God for his wisdom. God is far smarter than any of us, and he knows what he's doing. Amen. I know we all believe this, but it's far easier to believe when things are going well in life, isn't it, that God knows what he's doing? Hey, I'm having a good week. God, you're really on the ball, buddy. This is amazing. I'm standing out there, I kid you not, I'm standing out there and in the fellowship hall, on the stairway out there, for no other reason than how beautiful Oregon is. All right, I'm out there and I'm like, all right, nice. I'm looking through the trees, see a little mountain off in the distance, and I'm like, nice. God, 5 stars, would view again. We like it when things are going well. We all believe that, but then all of a sudden, when things in life aren't going the way that we had planned, when life hits the skids, and when you all see, and you look around and you see uncertainty, darkness, death, despair, fear, anxiety, depression, irrational thoughts, irrational behaviors, everything that we are seeing by the truckloads these days. When you're feeling like the crushing weight of the crosses that you bear are hearing, you're not hearing that God's wisdom is at work and he's in control and he knows what he's doing. Rather, you're just going, ah! sometimes it comes across as a little harsh, a little law-filled, punch in the nose. It's meant as gospel, but it's heard as very condemning to say, God knows exactly what's going on. Take heart. But this is where the words of Christ himself in our gospel lesson show us what God's almighty wisdom and power is really about, right? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die for it, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. This here is the crucifix, is the wisdom of God hung on a cross for all to see. Here is the unsearchable, inscrutable wisdom of God. Here is what it's all about. Here is where the problem, every worry, every concern, every anxiety, every woe, every doubt, every fear is ultimately directed to and answered. Here's the fullest expression of God's powerful love. Not just for you, but for all people, the whole world, even the ones we don't like. Okay, I had to process that. And this is wisdom that only God can have. I can't make an excuse for God that's better than that. Who would ever draw up a plan of salvation that looked like that? It's crazy. Who would ever draw up a plan of faith and victory and love and peace to look like death, defeat, forsakenness, and horrifying suffering? Who? God, that's who. The very God who desires the death of no man, who desires that all turn, repent, and confess their sins and hold fast to him and his all-loving, all-merciful peace. The peace that is found only in the all-atoning sacrifice of God himself in the flesh, Jesus Christ. Now again, I know that you all know this already. Whenever I talk to people about Jesus and I try to comfort them with the truth and they want me to make something up and I tell them that, well, you know that God is always, I know, but, no. I know. And I'm like, do you? Do you really? Because they want me to comfort them with something that God doesn't give me to comfort them with. Here is the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-encompassing, omniscient God who gives his Son for you, the death and resurrection, and I'm trying to tell you this, I'm trying to preach it purely, and I'm trying to administer the sacraments rightly, and they're going, what else you got? Nothing. They're like, well, that's not very exciting. I know. But it's true, and that has to be good enough. He doesn't, now again, you know this. I didn't just reveal some previously unknown secret to you. Nobody's going to be going home today. Did you hear that crazy stuff Pastor Hoffman said about God? And yet, how often do we forget? How often the fatigue of life and the fog of war and dark clouds of fear and despair kick up and we get blinded, deafened to this cruciform truth and peace. Why God? Why me? Why now? Why this? Why? We want answers, not the answers you gave, but other answers. We demand answers as if God answers to us. I'm not going to even try to give you an answer as to why you might be suffering or why the other guy is so well off. People ask me this all the time. Whenever, and I'm not against it, whenever people tell me something personal, I'm suffering in this life. There's something going on that is not okay. I'm living in a world where there is brokenness in my life. I'm speaking in the most generic terms possible. Because everybody may tell me a different story, but in the end, isn't that what they're saying? Pastor, I've got sin in my life, and it doesn't feel right. Well, it shouldn't. It's more like a knife stabbing in me. It's not just a feather tickling me. It's a knife, and it hurts, and I'm suffering. And part of me, the sinful part, wants to say some kind of placation because it's like a box opening and fire coming out. I'm like, ah, quick. But the answer isn't quick. The answer is eternal. Don't give them quick. Give them eternal. Gasoline feels wet, but it's not going to put anything out. Not going to give you false counsel or bad advice. Sometimes I'll just stare at you if you tell me something messed up. I'll go, be patient, wait for it, don't say anything. Your old Adam has some great ideas. Tell him to shut up. Okay, so what are we dealing with? That's the question. I can't dispense good advice like a fortune cookie. But I can give you, and I promise I will, if you ever come to me and you're hurting and you're suffering, saying, Pastor, I'm broken, then I will give you the one who fixes brokenness, and it's not me. I can't do that. I won't do that. Here's the truth. Here is Almighty God, Jesus Christ. The wisdom, the love, the mercy, the righteousness of Almighty God in the flesh. In fact, here is the entire Holy Trinity at work for you and for your salvation. The Almighty Father sent His Son to die for you, to make atonement for you, and by His grace, through the working of the Holy Spirit, you believe it. The same Almighty Father still sends His Son to you to bring you His assurance, forgiveness, grace, mercy, peace. No matter how foolishly bad things may seem on this side of eternity, your brokenness might be situational, but the ultimate reality is it's sin. The same one that Adam and Eve experienced in the garden. It is the brokenness, the separateness from God. And the farther we get from Him, we can't stop wondering why we're not hearing Him anymore. Those who have seen me have seen the Father, says Jesus. The only begotten Son still holds out His pierced hands to you, beckoning you, repent. Turn around and come and cleave to Him. Come to me, all who are heavy laden. Come take and eat. Yes, we still suffer. Yes, we still bear crosses. My grace is sufficient, He says. I know what I'm doing. I'm working all things for your good and for your good of all those who love me. My grace is all sufficient. I know what I'm doing. I'm working all things for your good and for the good of all those who love me. My grace is all sufficient. You're not okay. You're going to be. I got you. The Holy Spirit of God proceeding forth from the Father and the Son works in us and enables you to hear, see, and receive these blessed realities of salvation. The Holy Spirit of God works that life-giving, life-saving miracle in you through the hearing of God's voice, God's word, opening your ears, opening your hearts and your minds to recognize and give thanks for the blessed joy and peace and wisdom that is Christ crucified. The joy and peace that is Emmanuel in your midst, God with you in your soul. My dear fellow children of God, I don't have answers for you apart from the answer, Jesus Christ. The Sunday school answer is so spot on because it points you to Jesus. Not, are you Christianing enough? But Jesus, I point you to the Almighty and all-powerful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who fills heaven and earth, whose voice created everything out of nothing, and whose voice still shakes the heavens. I point you to the Almighty God, whose voice cries out in victory, "It is finished," and who still bears these cruciform scars as an eternal blessed reminder to his heavenly Father. All the work, all the requirements, all the wrath, all the suffering has been paid for in full by him for you. That's a lot of alls too, isn't it? Come to think of it. All the full righteous, all the fiery wrath of God against sin was poured out on Christ and not you. That's good advice because it comes from God. I direct your ears of faith to his voice and not my cleverness. I direct your still cries out to his ears and proclaims as he proclaims your innocence, your justification, and your peace in the waters of holy baptism. He has called you through the water. He has made your name written in the book of life. The life given in him. Those words of absolution and benediction that you hear in the divine service aren't just mere liturgical traditions that we have. They're gifts. They're blessings. Those are timeless and eternal words of God for you. Long before you were born, they were for you. By the working of his Holy Spirit, you believe and hold fast to these words of life, wisdom, and peace. You know, hold on, I feel my blood pressure going up. You know, when you get it, when you understand it, when you trust and hold fast to this God-given eternal wisdom, it rocks your world and shakes your foundations, but with joy. Everything else in life tends to get put in proper perspective when you consider it in the light of Jesus Christ. It's all so simple, so powerful, so wise and beautiful. Everything else, when you meditate on this, everything else pales in comparison. Everything else becomes a lot more palatable, manageable, bearable, even joyous. People you don't like actually become more bearable. And the people that don't like you, you become more bearable to them. You never thought of it that way, huh? We tend to think, everybody likes me. I mean, I don't like that guy. But everybody likes me. That's not true. Everything else seems pretty foolish in the light of the cross of Jesus, doesn't it? The very wisdom of God in the flesh, but as it should. There's that all word again. This is where you come in. The wisdom of repent, faith gives thanks in all circumstances. In all places and at all times. Why? Because the wisdom of faith and knows and believes for certain that you are ever and always redeemed in Christ because of Christ. It's hard to say, but if the word of God isn't what you're looking for, repent of that. Turn away from it. If what I'm saying here seems good and it works at church, but doesn't work out in the real world, repent of that. Turn away from it. Point towards Christ. Because as much as every armchair quarterback is out there trying to give you something to make the church more palatable, it's trash. It's a dumpster fire if it isn't the wisdom of God. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy and his wisdom and his love for you endures not for a little while, but forever. This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.